This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man, dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is where the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the great theologians of the 20th century, Lawrence Peter Barra, better known as Yogi Barra, once famously said, "When you come to a fork in the road, take it. Resurrection Sunday may be the best Sunday of the year to think about coming to a fork in the road and taking it." So I invite you to take a look at the front of your bulletin today. Go ahead and take a peek at it right now. I have to tell you that I love this graphic. I love it because it so clearly depicts the situation all of us will find ourselves in numerous times during the course of our lives. We're traveling down the road of life and we come to a crossroads, a fork in the road, if you like. And sometimes this crossroads isn't as marked as clearly as the one on your bulletin. But you know, very often it is. We realize that if we turn one way, we'll be headed in a new direction. We'll be on the road to new life. And of course, I'm talking about more than the new life that comes from, you know, picking up and moving to a new area, or taking a new job, or getting into a new relationship. On Resurrection Sunday, the kind of new life we're talking about will impact your day-to-day living at least as much, if not more, than a physical move, or a new job, or a new relationship. The new life of resurrection benefits us here and now, but it also has eternal consequences. Today, we're blessed to witness what is very often one of the first stops along this road to new life. Because in just a few minutes, we will participate, along with Ivan and Damien and Connor and William, in the sacrament of holy baptism. Through God's Word, ordinary water, and the work of the Holy Spirit, something wonderful happens that we just can't fully grasp, can't really get our head around. But we do know that part of what we do is that we make promises to and on behalf of one another. We get a chance to walk side by side with these brothers in Christ as they take steps along the road to new life. We will have the high honor of witnessing their adoption into God's family. and seeing them lay hold to that promise of eternal life. But you know, there's more here for us if we just have eyes to see it. And here again, I'd refer you to take a look at that graphic on the front of your bulletin. And maybe the first thing you'd notice is that the road to new life takes you in a completely different direction than the old life road. You know, you don't get there incrementally. You don't get there by just going a little bit different than from your old life. It's a whole new direction. New life is just that. It's new. It's brand new. And you know, that can be a little scary. Change is hard. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I get a little set in my ways. We don't always welcome things that are new and different. I think this is especially true when we sort of feel like we are left to our own devices to deal with all this new stuff going on around us. When we feel like we're all on our own. And so I think this is where we need to really be able to learn to trust God. Because God loves to work in the lives of His people in new and exciting ways. Speaking through the prophet Isaiah about the coming day of the Lord, God says this. He says, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" God promises to do a brand new thing when He reigns. When God reigns, it's not going to look at all like the former things or the things of old. God's reign will be a new thing, a better thing. And this is exactly what happens when, through baptism, we let God reign in our lives. When God reigns, our lives are better right here and now. And they are new and better also in eternity. You know, St. John makes this crystal clear in the book of Revelation. He writes over and over about the new things God has in store for His people. He talks about a new heaven and a new earth, and about the holy city, the new Jerusalem. He's describing a brand new day where God reigns in every heart. It's a time when God will literally live with the people He loves so much. John tells us God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then comes this incredible statement. He who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." That, brothers and sisters in Christ, is resurrection. It's new life. It began with Jesus and His resurrection, which we celebrate today. It begins with us when we are raised to new life in Him through baptism. But thanks be to God, it may start with our baptisms, but it doesn't end with our baptisms. Time and time again, after we've been baptized, we'll come to a crossroads where we have an opportunity to move further along that road to new life. You know, I think in our second lesson, Paul has it exactly right, where he says we're not just saved, we are being saved. We're all works in progress. God gives us ample opportunities to grow, to mature in our faith. Remembering the promises of baptism, we can experience new life, the new life we have in Christ, in richer, deeper, more meaningful ways. You know, more than any other writer in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writes about this new, rich, deep life that comes through Christ. Writing to the church in Corinth, he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he has become what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. behold, all things have become new. And you know, Paul knew something about becoming a new creation. In his younger days, he persecuted the church. He held the coats of the ones who stoned the first Christian martyr, Stephen. But this is key. Paul did not let his past determine his future. He let the Holy Spirit work in him, change him from the inside out. Paul became a new creation. And as zealous as he had been in persecuting the church, Paul became even more zealous in planting churches. He became the apostle to the Gentiles. He traveled all over the ancient Near East, establishing churches and encouraging believers. Paul let go of his past and accepted the great grace and mercy given through Christ. Every time he came to a crossroads, he chose to leave his old life behind and grow in Christ. Invariably, Paul moved toward the new life that comes through richer and deeper faith. So here are my questions for you on this resurrection day. And they're rather simple. Are you taking advantage of the opportunities you have to grow in faith? When you come to a crossroads, are you moving in the direction of new life? Is your faith growing and getting deeper? Or are you letting your old life determine your future? Brothers and sisters in Christ, the resurrection of Jesus that we celebrate today changes everything. Because Christ lives, we also live. We live richer, fuller lives right now because we're living for something bigger than ourselves. And we have God's promise that just as Jesus was raised from the dead, so shall we be. By grace, we are resurrection people. And because of the resurrection, we have hope, both now and into eternity. Paul was thinking of the resurrection when he wrote cheerfully about his current life and his future life to the Philippians. He wrote this. He said, "Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own." He's talking about resurrection. "But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." This is the kind of peace and determination that comes with the new life that we have in Christ. So as the great theologian says, when you come to that fork in the road, take it. Take the road that leads to new life, the new life that we have in Christ. If the first stop along that road for you is baptism, we're here for you. If it's more about growing and nurturing your faith, we're here for you. If it's about living for something bigger than yourself by joining a community of believers, we are here for you. If you're afraid that your past is determining your future, we're here for you. I've said it before, but it's worth saying again. Jesus does not care about your past. He only cares about what kind of follower you're going to be in the future. And for that, we can rejoice. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.